You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Would you believe me if I said that mangoes are at the top of at least one list of the foods that you should be eating in the new year? A mango is at the top of the list, and that particular list comes from UC Davis. So what is it about mangoes? And I want to know, I think you do too, what's on the rest of the list. So in the studio with me is Alex Nella, a registered dietitian at UC Davis Children's Hospital. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how's it going?
Point of clarification here. Because you're from the Children's Hospital, are the foods we're going to talk about recommended for kids, or is this a list for everybody?
This is definitely a list for everybody. You know, I might work in pediatrics, but this list was compromised from a lot of different professionals from specialties like orthopedics, ophthalmology, sports medicine, and oncology. I'm the pediatric part of the show.
You went around and surveyed. All right, how did mangoes end up at the top of the list?
Well, that was from one of our oncologists who was really excited about the perspective that everyone in the family can get behind mangoes. And it certainly comes from the earth. It's got antioxidants, vitamin A, vitamin C, a lot of potassium. You know, some kind of antioxidant has to give it that bright, vibrant color. So it hits a lot of our health needs from that perspective. It's not particularly in season right now.
Right.
Right? Right now it's coming from Mexico. It is grown in California, but it's a summer fruit. And there are only two fruits on this list.
I notice.
Yeah. And they're both summer fruits, right? We got blueberries and mangoes. I'm not sure how mangoes got to the top of this list, but there they are. Both of them are really summer fruits.
Sometimes mangoes arrive in the store hard, and they can be intimidating. It's not necessarily a fruit that all of us are familiar with. I come from the Midwest. I can't remember how far into my 20s or 30s I was before I saw a mango. So talk about the ripeness and eating a mango.
You know, as a dietitian, I think I'm still with you on some of the intimidation factor. What color is it supposed to be? I'm asking somebody. If I'm at the Co-op or Sprouts or Safeway, it doesn't matter. I'm probably asking them for a little suggestion. They're going to tell you, do I need to put this in a bag with some bananas so the ethylene from the bananas can help me ripen it up and get that texture we're looking for? Is there an aroma I'm looking for so I know when the right time is to cut into that? And cutting a mango, holy smokes, I'm probably YouTubing that. So I can get some ideas on how to best utilize that meat.
I know that, Alex. Longwise and scoop out those seeds.
There's a big old seed in there.
All right. We're spending a lot of time on mangoes, but number two on the list probably is not going to surprise anybody. Number two is, drum roll.
Eat less animals?
Number two is fish on the list.
Sure. It's on there. Eat more fish. Some people might say chicken could show up on there. I have less animal protein on mine, and that's really coming from an oncologist who wants people to lower their heart disease risk and lower their stroke risk, diabetes, and obviously lower their cancer risk. It is not a coincidence that the World Health Organization lists red meat and processed meat as a stage one carcinogen. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we're encouraging people to get more active with plant-based protein or participate in a meatless Monday so they can lower that health risk for them long term.
A lot of people go to fish oil supplements now, and you have to watch the number of omega-3s in your supplement. But is that a good substitute for eating fish?
You know, I really err on the side of eating the real deal, a fatty fish, which would be something like salmon or tuna or mackerel.
Or trout.
Or once or twice a week. I would much rather have that because those come with other nutritional benefits. And it is murky sometimes to find a supplement that meets all those needs for us. Which of these oils am I looking for? Is it the DHA or the EPA? Is there a certain ratio I'm looking for? It's complicated out there. And I think you do want to find one with a little more DHA when possible. I think that's the higher one in the ratio we're looking for. You don't have to worry about that if you have 3 or 4 ounces of salmon in front of you.
Okay, just to this list in general, foods we should be eating in 2019, is this list different to you than previous lists? And by that, I mean, do we know more now? Are we targeting specific better eating as humans?
You know, there's a lot of different perspectives on this list. And I think that's what makes this one unique is the fact that we have all these different voices. Is the fact that we have these different voices on here. the foods on here are not game changers. They're not game breakers. They're not new to anybody. These are foods that our grandparents would have recognized as healthy foods that should be on your plate. Do we know more about these foods? I think we do, because, you know, one of the big things that I was a fan of on this list was broccoli or any cruciferous vegetable because of one antioxidant in particular called glucosinolates, which gets changed in our body to something called sulforaphane, which is a powerful detoxification antioxidant, activates something called the NRF2 pathway, which neutralizes antioxidation and free radicals, which is a lot of fancy words for
anti-cancer. All right, now anti-cancer. We're way in the weeds. Anti-cancer.
Yeah, here we go.
Right.
But it's broccoli, broccoli sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. I mean, those are what's really high in those particularly beneficial compounds. And that is research that started in the 90s that continues to get elucidated even now today in 2019. It's not uncommon to hear a nutrition researcher talking about that, say, on like the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
That's been really recent, 2018.
So under fish, broccoli, as you said, that group of vegetables, blueberries, which we mentioned, then beets, any color, red beets, yellow beets, golden beets, and then spinach and our leafy green vegetables. So really the core of this list is that whole vegetable group that gets talked about a lot. Kale is later on the list too.
Yeah, kale and spinach, really any leafy green. Why is that? Because anything that's leafy green is going to have lutein and zeaxanthin, which are some $100 words that really help eye health. Because once again, we have ophthalmology experts looking at this. And the two nutrients that are really concentrated in our macula are lutein and zeaxanthin. And we get a lot of those nutrients from the cooked versions of leafy greens. Kale being actually at the top of that, spinach being not too far down, and those two really helpful nutrients that prevent macular degeneration, prevent cataracts. And our ophthalmologists are really passionate about that, obviously.
You are listening to Alex Nella. He's a registered dietitian at UC Davis Children's Hospital. There are a couple items on this list that kids are going to love you for. Parents are going to love you because they're going to say, okay, my kids want this. I can give it to them. Peanut butter might seem like an obvious one, but also on the list, chocolate and chocolate milk.
They were surprising to a lot of people to make it on this list. once again, it's a broad perspective from some people who are really interested in athletics, because chocolate milk is one of these readily available recovery drinks that in some cases are shelf stable. It certainly fits for a niche of endurance or even power athletes to have this kind of holy grail mix of a 3-to-1 carb to protein ratio that's perfect for recovery. Yeah, it is. It is milk with added sugar, but that's kind of the point. That's what an athlete might need to replace a lot of the carbohydrate that they burnt down, as well as having a protein source to build back some of those muscle fibers they broke down in hopes of building them back stronger. So chocolate milk makes it for that reason. Chocolate's on here, and I'll add some caveat on that one.
Okay.
If it mentions on that chocolate that it's used with alkali processing, we're dealing with milk chocolate here. Not a whole lot of nutritional benefits coming with that. You're probably looking for a dark chocolate of 70% cacao or higher, and portion control is going to be important with that. You're looking at 1 ounce a few times a week. If you want to have it every day, we're probably taking it down from an ounce. But yeah, we can certainly find some antioxidant capacity with dark chocolate, especially the higher up that percentage goes.
Some other foods on this list: almonds, quinoa, that tiny, tasty little grain, legumes, all kinds of beans, the chickpeas and other beans. And I'm going to wrap us up with number 15 on the list. If you put a pickle spear on the plate, you're doing good in 2019.
I got to smile when you say that, because it made its way on here as our executive chef at the hospital, Santana Diaz. What do you do with some of these extra vegetables you have lying around? Well, you can really make them last to a time where you're not going to have some of those vegetables around by pickling them. Some of those things can be high in sodium, but it really is going to matter to your portion. Some of these things are really going to add a lot of flavor to your salad or whatever you're eating. And it's notable that this list has links to a couple of recipes, one of which being a chipotle pickled carrot recipe from our executive chef, Santana Diaz. So take a look at that.
We will post a link to that list. Do you have a favorite healthy snack yourself?
You know, peanut butter makes the list for me as well.
Yeah.
There's like not a day that goes by that I don't eat peanut butter with some kind of whole grain wrap. I'm about it.
Are we at the point yet where, as a whole population, we're getting healthier in our eating?
I think a lot of us are really more focused on it.
Mm.
But overall, we have a lot of work to do. I still have a job. I'm happy about that.
Thank you so much. The list was really fun. I think there's something on there for everybody. So I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That is registered dietitian at UC Davis Children's Hospital, Alex Nella. We'll post a link to the article, some of those recipes. You can find it all at capradio.org/insight. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones, and our executive producer is Joe Barr. We're back tomorrow with another live show. Thanks for joining us.